The reading is taken from Nehemiah chapter 1, starting to read at verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayers of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man.' I was cupbearer to the king." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. The Gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 16, reading from verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Do please sit. Well, it's very exciting because today is Vision Sunday. I know that that's really the only reason you come to church this morning. You want to be excited by a fresh vision. And the story of Nehemiah and his efforts to rebuild Jerusalem after the exile in about 444 BC has really resonated with me. I've been wondering what it would have been like if you'd been working for the Antarctic Survey or perhaps been on the International Space Station pre to March this year, and you had come back in lockdown, that is, if you'd been allowed to come back. And your vision of the church would have been pretty depressing. Closed doors, silent buildings, empty car parks, funerals with just four people present, no bells, no organ, no choirs. Or, to paraphrase our reading, in the month of June, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel, one of my brothers came from Buckingham with some other men, and I questioned them about the faithful remnant that had survived the lockdown, and also about the church. They said to me, "Those who survived the pandemic and are back in the province of Buckingham are in great trouble. They have to wear masks. They're not allowed out. Worse still, the people who were foolhardy enough to buy 55 rolls of loo paper and who still haven't got through their store of loo paper are yet bulk buying more loo paper. The churches are closed. The priests are not even allowed to enter their buildings to live stream or to pray. Everyone is glued to computer screens on Zoom, and we cannot even gather to worship and sing. Now, thankfully, we have passed that stage, and we pray earnestly that there will be no return to the March lockdown. But what does Nehemiah do? First, he asks questions and he listens. He listens to what has happened, to grasp the situation, to gather information. And when he understands the full scale, the severity of the situation, how desperate it was, what's his next move? He sits down and he weeps. He mourns. And I suspect we've all been through some time like that in the last few months, haven't we? I know I've had my moments when I've just held my head in my hands and had a good old rant at the Lord. We've mourned the passing of the old way of doing things. Despite the fact that I live at home, I'm blessed hugely with a wife and children. I've mourned not being able to shake your hands, not being able to hug those of you who are up for a good charismatic hug at the end of the service. I can't imagine how difficult it must be for those of you who live on your own and can't even see grandchildren, for example, to get those precious hugs. And we read that Nehemiah is also praying. One of the fruits of these last few months has been an increase in prayer in the church. It's been wonderful. There's a new Zoom prayer meeting Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. Ollie has started up a pop-up prayer meeting down in the centre. Paul Wallace has a prayer meeting on a Friday night. I meet with a small group to pray on a Tuesday morning. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. One of the fruits. And Nehemiah's prayer serves us as a wonderful prayer template. He starts by worshipping God. Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God. Sometimes we can forget who God really is and just come to him with a shopping list without starting with an acknowledgement of who he is. And then he asks God to listen to his prayers, and then he confesses. He confesses all the people's sins and acknowledges that they're only in the situation they're in, which is in exile, because of their disobedience. Then he asks, "Give your servant success today by granting him favor." And God does precisely that. And Nehemiah has this powerful vision to rebuild Jerusalem. It is, in one sense, not at all a radical vision. He's just rebuilding something. It's already been there. It's not like he's had this great idea, let's build a new city. It's just, there's a city there and it needs its walls rebuilt. But given the challenges, the cost, the materiel needed, the manpower, the opposition to all of this, it is indeed a massive vision. And I stand before you today, I suppose, with something that is rather similar to that. It's a vision to rebuild our church family. It's not a radical vision. It doesn't involve any massive changes. We're not planting a new church nearby. We're not leaving Buckingham or doing anything crazy. But just like those broken down walls that needed rebuilding, we need to rebuild our congregations that have hemorrhaged over the last 6 months. Praise God, not this one, but in particular the family congregation. Now, we've already embarked on this. You were the pioneers back on July the 23rd, I think it was, Kate's first Sunday, we reopened. And I was overwhelmed with how many of you returned to church. Many of you, it was the first time you'd actually been surrounded by other people since March. We've now restarted the evening service. But just as Nehemiah came across challenges and opposition, so we too will face those same challenges. And I think further COVID restrictions will be the main challenge we, hopefully we won't, but we may well have to deal with. So what is the vision? Well, to continue with the rebuilding metaphor, I think the foundations need digging down and reinforcing as the walls are rebuilt. Interestingly, we actually need to do that in the corner of the kitchen, which is gently subsiding, and there's now a 2-inch gap up in the up in the room up there. So that's going to require quite a lot of time and effort and money. More about that next Sunday. But now is not the time for anything scary. I want us all to feel safe. I want you to feel held, as it were, as we continue to navigate these trying times. I know for some of you, you're not feeling safe enough to even return to church. Some of you may be too gracious to say anything to me now, but you're sitting there actually quite nervous because there may be someone sitting perhaps just a little bit too close to you, invading your body space. I don't know how you're feeling, but I think now is a time for you to feel safe. It's not the time for anything weird or radical. We have enough challenges ahead of us as it is. Even getting back to where we were in March is enough of a challenge. So here is what God has laid on my heart. You'll know that at Buckingham Parish Church, we have a simple vision to be a community that worships God, makes friends, and changes the world. And so here is what they might mean for us in our immediate future. Well, worshiping God, we seek to worship God as we live out our daily lives as disciples. As you all know, worshiping God isn't just coming in and singing quietly or humming hymns. Our whole lives as disciples should be an act of worship. But of course, our Sunday services are our shop front. Now, shop fronts, practically speaking, aren't of really any use. You can't go and touch things in a shop window display, can you? But of course, they're immensely important in terms of what people think about what's inside as they walk past. And it's no different, really, for a church. So we will continue to strive to gather to worship together for corporate worship as the body of Christ, by gathering as much as we can within the law and according to those guidelines which are sensible. We will strive to create services that feed your soul with good music, albeit you can't sing along too passionately, and good teaching. We will push the envelope as to what is permissible as we yearn to be able to return to normality. We will continue to live stream all our services as long as we have the manpower to do so, so that those who are in isolation at home or for whatever reason can't make it to church can still be part of the church family. And we will, God willing, embark on this plan to have a new service pattern that starts on Harvest Sunday, the 11th of October, in our quest to find a pattern of services that appeals to the most, offends the least, and crucially, which is most accessible to those who don't yet come to church. We have to be missional in our approach to our services. And I do understand that particularly for those of you, for whatever reason, find early starts a challenge. And I have a very elderly mother and a disabled mother-in-law, and I know exactly how difficult it is for people of a certain age or suffering from certain things to actually get themselves out of bed, pills taken, loosened up and out of the door. I completely understand that. So there will be people for whom the 9 a.m. start time for this congregation is going to be either impossible or a real challenge. My prayer is that you would just bear with us, because it is just a trial, and it may be that at the end of the trial we say, actually, it's not going to work, we'll adjust the timing slightly. I don't know, but it is just a trial. And remember, there is a 10 a.m. midweek Holy Communion service, which is now very well attended, which is another option if 9 a.m. is too early. The second thing is making friends. Now, making friends is so important, and this, of course, has been a great casualty over the last 6 months. How difficult, nigh on impossible, has it been to make new friends and also to deepen existing friendships? I can't remember the last time when I saw some of my closest friends. Now, the key aspect to this part of our vision is our connect groups. I had a lovely chat with someone this morning who's yearning to get their connect group back together, and has said, can we come in and use the church? I said, that's fine. You still need to be in groups of six, though. But there's nothing wrong to have six people sitting there and two or three people or another six people sitting over there. You've got a 2 meter gap. As long as you don't mingle at the end, that's fine. Both groups will be able to hear each other. And I would say that's much better than not meeting or meeting on Zoom. So this building is yours. It's at your disposal. Obviously, you need to book it, ring the office and book it. And you need to wipe down the chairs at the end. But it's yours to use in the connect groups if you want. And there's no charge for it, obviously. These small groups are so important. And they're united around the gospel. They meet, I hope, as a minimum to pray and to open God's word. But some will eat and have lots of other social activities as well. And as I say, the church is here if you want to use it. And it's in these connect groups that we mature as disciples. And anyone praying and reading the Bible regularly will mature as a disciple of Christ. The other picture I had to do with this was a picture from which is reflected in Psalm 1, which is that, you know, a tree that grows by a river bears leaves that do not wither. And so my sense of wanting to go deeper rather than wider, which is why we're running a discipleship course, I just feel that now is a time to kind of deepen our roots, so when the next storm comes, people aren't blown to the four winds. So in summary, we make friends to go deeper together. And the final part is change the world. The unavoidable result of becoming a disciple is that you then start to raise up new disciples yourself. That's what being a disciple really is, someone who has had a life-changing encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ and wants to tell other people about Jesus and leads them to him. Inviting someone on Alpha is part of that jigsaw of being a world changer. And as I said earlier, there are a couple of streams on the Alpha course that Ollie's running starting in October that either you can come along, or perhaps better still, someone you know might want to come to. Now, the other part of changing the world is making a difference in the world. And we do this by being Christ's hands and feet. It's been tough because a lot of our contact points, our community lunch, for example, hasn't been able to run. We've done a phenomenally good job running the food bank, and thank you so much to the volunteers there. But we are expecting times to get harder before they get better. More people to get made redundant, more joblessness, more suffering and struggling. So we are going to hear about a new initiative. There's a short 1 minute video that's going to play in a moment from Christians Against Poverty, explaining about a new course which is called Kickstart, and then I'm then going to invite Brian up to tell us about what he and Anne are going to be doing about it.
In the middle of this pandemic, people are facing all kinds of challenges, from unemployment to shrinking incomes and even dealing with a loss of loved ones. I passionately believe, can't believe, that it's a time for the church to shine brightly and step up to the opportunity. Kickstart from Christians Against Poverty is a series of easy, accessible, bite-sized sessions that enable you to respond to the needs in your community. They're designed to be shared over video conferencing platforms. Kickstart gives practical tips on job searching, money management, handling habits, and dealing with the emotional challenges of worry and loss. We've designed it to fit in seamlessly with your existing community work, and it's completely free to use. Simply register your church online and start helping people in your community move forward in life. We pray that this resource helps you show your community that the church is here, that we're ready, and we're able to help people, and do it all in Jesus' name.
Wonderful. So that's the background. Brian is going to answer some questions. So Brian, what is it that you've learned during lockdown that's caused you to kind of rethink how we do things?
Well, I've been one of those people who's been delivering food bank parcels, and it's been an opportunity for me to get out into the community and, to be honest, make contact with people that I perhaps wouldn't otherwise have encountered. Yes, I've been running errands and doing some shopping trips and so on. And something that struck me was just how willing people were to talk on the doorstep and to open up and to talk about the issues that they were facing in their lives. People who perhaps weren't getting out at all and weren't really meeting people. And some of them, they just valued having somebody to talk to. And I was pleased to be able to be one of those people.
Aren't you guys running the life skills course, though?
Sadly not. We were running CAP life skills, but the central tenet of that is meeting together as a group. And so sadly that will have to finish in March because we couldn't have that level of social contact. And can I just point out, when we're talking about Christians Against Poverty, increasingly that charity is encouraging us to think about both emotional and spiritual poverty as well as financial poverty. So we're not just talking about people with money problems.
So, what's your new thinking?
We want to see, Anne and I, we're trying to see every encounter we have in the community as an opportunity to talk to people about Jesus. We're thinking about it's lovely that the discipleship course is now fully subscribed. Before discipleship comes Alpha. Alpha is a great way to speak to people who have questions about faith. We see more opportunities to talk to people who don't even know what the question is yet. People around the community who don't have something to cling on to in that way.
Great. And what do you think we as a church should be doing?
I'd like us all to think that way and to use those opportunities that we have to be disciples, as Will was saying, to be the people who go out into the community, an opportunity to give emotional and spiritual support in the name of Jesus. And if I may just quote Christian author Patrick Reagan, who says that instead of us working to help people be resilient and to bounce back, he's advocating that we help people to bounce forwards and not to go back to how things were before, but to actually take a step forward and to have something new in their lives.
So tell us about what this new thing is.
This is like the Sunday school question, isn't it? The answer is always Jesus. And hopefully it is for a lot of people. We pray that, as Kate said a couple of weeks ago, that people will learn to build on a firm foundation, because if, as John Kirkby was saying in that video, people have lost a job, they may even have lost a loved one, they've lost something that's important to them. A lot of people, they don't have a firm foundation to fall back onto.
And what can we be doing here?
Well, okay, there are two main things that we could engage you as the congregation and us as the church in to contribute to this. One of them is that the Kickstart also is an opportunity for us to befriend people in the community. And Anne and I want to encourage people to join up, to be someone, to walk alongside someone who's participating in the online videos and is participating in the Zoom discussions. Someone who can be a listening ear, maybe meet someone for a coffee somewhere and help them to start that journey towards maybe joining an Alpha course, maybe coming to church regularly. The other thing we can do, we've printed lots of these publicity flyers, because what we want to do, it seems a bit old-fashioned in this day and age, we're going to mail drop parts of the town. We would love your help, if you could, to help deliver these flyers through selected front doors in the town as a way to reach people who we don't contact in other ways. People on the live stream as well, you're not here, but there's a link on the church webpage now to Kickstart, and there's some contact details there if you wanted to get in contact with us and to offer to help.
Fantastic. And Brian and Anne, you're going to be at the back.
We are, after service. If you want to come talk to us, find out more, or just give us a name so you don't have to hang around too long, we can give you a ring. Or certainly take one or more envelopes of these flyers and let's get out in the town and remind you that we're still here.
Wonderful. Brian, thank you so much. So let me close with a prayer. Lord, we pray that you would give us, your servants, success by granting us your favour. May we be challenged like Nehemiah was. May we pray, fast, and mourn over what has happened. May we be inspired to rebuild. May we worship you with a passion and zeal. May we grow in our discipleship. May we lead others to Christ. And may we be Christ's hands and feet. In Jesus' name, amen.